Welcome to the University of Limerick Research Impact podcast series. Today I'm joined by Dr. Rory Costello, Department of Politics and Public Administration here at the University of Limerick. Rory's research involves helping voters to make an informed choice. In the world of social media and fake news, how can you help provide objective information to voters?
Well, it's difficult. We have a lot of information around election time. You know, political parties are producing manifestos. We have these debates, which often generate more heat than light. Manifestos themselves are often impenetrable. Nobody reads them. So it is an issue. So how do you form voters in an accessible way? And it's a problem that I've been dealing with my own research. You know, so I'm interested in democratic representation. So how well are people represented by parties and by politicians? Can voters actually have an influence on the policies that are decided by their government? And I think most people would accept that that's something that should happen, that voters should ultimately be responsible for what's decided and the direction that the country takes. But often we see actually elections are about a whole range of other things, you know, leadership, about the individuals who are running for election, about the posters that are being put up on the lampposts, you know, about who's knocked on your door. So there's a whole range of different things that people are voting on. So how do you focus people's attentions on what are the policy choices available to them in a clear and accessible way? That's one of the issues that I've been concerned with. And so some of my research on this has shown that there are, you know, significant gaps out there in terms of, you know, how well people are represented. I mean, ideally what we'd like to see, I think, is a situation where the parties that people vote for actually share the views of the people that are voting for them. And not just on the red button issue that the election is about, but on a whole range of issues. You'd like to see some kind of symmetry between what people, the preferences and the views of individuals and the party that they're voting for. And that's difficult to achieve. And the research that I've done has shown that really we only see that kind of agreement between voters and parties on maybe one or two issues, the top economic issues in an election. When you go beyond that, when you look at issues that are important to people, but nonetheless might not dominate an election, you know, it might be an issue around European integration or immigration or abortion or any of those issues. Often you see the parties are very out of step with their own voters, which is a problem, I think, for democratic representation. And so, it's something that my research has looked at in Ireland and abroad, trying to identify those gaps in representation. And also, on the other side, you'd also like to see a situation whereby, having put policy choices before the electorate, parties actually go on to do something about it when they're in office. And only then can you really say that voters are having an influence. Okay, so if there's choice being put before them, people choose a party that they agree with, the party goes on to fulfill those promises, then voters have a real influence on policy. But if it breaks down on any of those links, then we have a problem. And so the other side of my research has looked at that kind of final stage of representation whereby parties are in power and they're implementing policies. Are they actually doing what they set out to do in their manifestos? Are they fulfilling their election pledges? And again, that's something I've looked at in Ireland and internationally to try and understand not only to what extent do parties honour their promises, but under what conditions do they do that? And when do we see parties doing what they said they would?
How has your research had an impact on voters? And how has it helped them to have an informed decision when they present themselves at the polling booth?
Yeah, so, you know, what I'm looking at is not some kind of an abstract thing. It's something that is practical and should be relevant to voters at election time. So I thought, why stop at just researching representation for an academic audience and trying to understand these gaps in representation and these problems? Why not try to do something about it? So I've, you know, been looking at election manifestos over the years and surveying political parties and candidates. What I've decided to do more recently is to try and convey that information to voters in an easily accessible way so that voters can use that information to make a more informed decision. You know, I'm particularly thinking about voters now who might be kind of younger, maybe not all that interested in politics, but nonetheless, they want to do their duty and to cast an informed vote. So they need that information. And they don't want to be relying on just a leaflet that was put through their letterbox to make up their minds. So what I've done is, first and foremost, set up a number of voting advice applications. So these are online tools, so websites that people can visit where they can compare political parties, compare politicians, election candidates, and see who actually is in line with their own views, who would best represent them in terms of policy. Now, policy is not the only factor, but the websites that I've set up are specifically designed about that. So it works by, you know, I survey the candidates standing for election or the political parties. in a particular election and make that information publicly available so that, you know, anybody can just log on to one of these websites. The most recent one I did for the general election in 2016 was whichcandidate.ie, and people can go there, go into their own constituency, do a short survey, you know, say where they stand on a range of issues, the most important issues at a given time, and then they're shown, you know, how they compare to all of the candidates in their constituency, and they're shown who they agree with most on matters of policy. And so by doing so, then it provides a way for voters to make an informed decision without having to, you know, trawl through manifestos, without having to try to discern differences between parties from the shouting matches that are the leaders' debates and, you know, interviews on radio and on television. So, you know, in the quiet of their own home, they can sit down for 5 or 10 minutes and kind of compare the parties and see, well, actually, whose policies are most in line with my own views. And, you know, the impact there is in terms of actually informing voters. And we've had a lot of people, you know, using these websites to be informed. So that most recent voting advice application that I referred to, whichcandidate.ie, was used by well over 100,000 people in the last general election. And most of those were actually younger voters who aren't that interested in politics, who don't have an allegiance to a party, who really didn't know who to vote for. And they wanted to make an informed decision, but maybe weren't willing to put in hours and hours into that research. So this is an easy but objective and reliable source of information for those types of voters to make a decision on.
So Rory, how did it come about that you decided to look at this particular area of research?
Well, I've been working on the area of party policy and of political representation more generally for quite a while, but the idea for bringing that knowledge to the public and some of that evidence to the public and to inform voters at election time first came about during the 2007 election, where I worked with a number of people to set up an election website for the Irish general election in that year. So that was fairly, you know, small scale, but we were surprised at how many people actually used it. And so that demonstrated to us that there was an appetite out there for this kind of tool for voters to help them to vote based on policy. And after that, I worked with a number of other research from right around Europe ahead of the 2014 European Parliament elections. So this was a website, it was called EU Vox. We worked on to inform people about party policy in the context of the European elections. And European elections is often something that people actually, they don't pay all that much attention to. You know, they're kind of low profile. People are often kind of not that well informed about what's at stake and what are the issues. So we were trying to address that information gap and that information deficit. And we set up that website right across the EU. So there was a version of it running in every country. And so I was just doing the Irish version of that. But right across Europe, I mean, it reached a lot of voters. There was over 7 million people used that website at the time. And so on the back of that, I began working towards the next general election in Ireland. And the big difference between what I was doing with that European website and what I'm doing currently with the Which Candidate site is that in Which Candidate, it's really focused on the individual politician, the individual candidate, because the difference between Ireland and a lot of other countries is that people here are really voting on the individual. So, you know, party labels matter, but for a lot of people, it's really about the individual candidate and the characteristics of the candidate, and what that individual candidate stands for. So we're trying to provide people with information at that individual level, which is a big task because you have a lot of candidates running in any given election. So there were, you know, 550 running in the last general election. So we had to survey all of those candidates and provide their policy positions to voters. But, you know, user feedback suggests that people did actually find it useful in their decision making. Like I said, there were a lot of people using it. A lot of people emailed me afterwards to say that it helped them to make an informed decision. It helped them to look at politics in a new light. And most of those people, I mean, I mentioned before they were young, unattached. They were actually coming to the website very, very late. You know, so these are people who were kind of leaving it late to decide. And so most of the visitors to the website came in the last 2 days before the election. So we'd, you know, over 30,000 people came in the last 2 days of the election. So, you know, clearly these are people who don't know how to vote and want kind of easy information. And perhaps otherwise they might not vote at all, you know, if they don't have that information to hand. So we were pleased with how people responded.
So I suppose where to from here, Rory, if you would imagine a scenario where your research will go on to impact future elections, the future political landscape, how would you see that coming about?
I would love to get to a situation whereby voters are routinely researching policies and candidates before they go to vote. And I think this is, you know, a first step in that direction. I mean, part of the change that we've seen in recent years in elections, not only in Ireland, but internationally, is that, you know, whereas in previous generations, people might have had a long-standing allegiance to a particular party. Very often they'd vote the same way as their parents voted or even their grandparents. So they're voting out of habit. They're voting for the same party routinely. Now, we don't see that anymore. So people have lost those long-standing attachments to parties. They are, you know, floating voters. They're making up their mind afresh at each election. And that can go in one of two ways. You know, it might move us closer to what I would see as the democratic ideal, whereby people are, you know, sitting back and objectively weighing up the options and voting on that basis. You know, that would be great. But the other alternative is that it might move us close to a situation whereby politics is becoming more and more fickle and superficial, whereby people are basing their decision on things like image, things like media profile, you know, Facebook videos, rather than what matters, which are the policy choices that are being set before them. So what I'm trying to encourage through these voting advice applications is, you know, a reflex in people that they will actually go and check how the parties compare and who they actually agree with on the issues before they go to vote. So I've done it, like I said, for a few elections in the past, the European Parliament elections last time out, and most recently the general election in 2016. What I would love to do is to extend it for more difficult to do elections, which include local elections where you have thousands of candidates running, so which is a big operation. But that would be something that would be great to do, because in local elections, people really don't have a clue, you know. They don't know anything about the people, most people that is, don't know anything about the candidates that are running in a local election. And there are important local issues at stake, but, you know, people don't have anything to go on when it comes to voting in local elections, which is why turnout is so low. But also, you know, elections overseas. I'm currently working with Swansea University at the moment for the upcoming elections, going to be using the Which Candidate website for voters over there. And then in terms of research, so the research on policy agreements that I was talking about between voters and parties, you know, is one side of the equation. But this information that we've been gathering through these websites is also useful for looking at, do the individual candidates now, when they've set out their positions and all of these issues before voters through these websites, do they actually go on and vote in line with that when they're in the Dáil, if they're elected? You know, we can look at parties, but we can also look at independent candidates. You know, are they actually voting in line with what they said they were going to do before the election? This is something that, again, is crucial information for people to make an informed decision. So I would like to look at that side of things in a little bit more detail. And indeed, I have been looking at parties' ability to fulfill their manifestos, as I've said. And that's another way I want to bring it out more internationally. So I've been working with a group of people from a number of countries comparing election pledge fulfillment. So how successful are parties at actually doing what they said they were going to do, and what shapes that? Okay, so we've got, you know, very different political systems in different countries. Some countries have got one party that's in power on its own, so it's got very few impediments to actually implementing its manifesto. Other countries, a party has to share, is forced to go into a coalition and to share power, which can make it tricky to fulfill its promises, right? They're going to have to negotiate and compromise. But under what conditions will those compromises be successful? And what we found there is when parties go into government with ideologically compatible partners, then they're just as successful as single party governments in doing what they set out to do. So, you know, coalition government can be very effective at delivering on policies that were set out in elections. So my research with my collaborators internationally have been looking at this, trying to tease out what are the conditions that are conducive to, you know, parties doing what they said they would effectively.
So when your voters are looking to make a decision at their next general election, they need to look for whichcandidate.ie. I've been speaking to Dr. Rory Costello of the Department of Politics and Public Administration here at the University of Limerick. If you'd like to find out more about Research Impact or to read Dr. Costello's full case study, go to our website at ul.ie/researchimpact. This research has been supported by the Irish Research Council.